Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine.
Hare Hare.
Hare Thank you.
Prabhupada, Paramahansa Paribraja Kacharya Shatotarasa Shri Shilad, Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Raj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa Paribraja Kacharya Shatotarasa Shri Shilad, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Raj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sakaho Shikrishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Sham Kun Radha Kunigiri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadip Dham Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Jamana Mai Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, Gaur Premanande. And where are we reading from?
Sixth chapter.
Six what?
Yes, 6-1 to 6-9.
1 through 9.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's our great fortune that we have His Holiness Jayadrat Swami Maharaj with us. I'll give a brief introduction.
Maharaj got initiation in 1968 when he was of 19 years old. And then Maharaj has done various services in ISKCON. Even from, he started when the magazines were there, from stapling them to the extent, then after that distribution of the book, production of the books and editing. And then after that Maharaj, between 1991 to 98, he served as an editor for Back to Godhead magazine. Also Maharaj is extensively preaching in different universities, colleges, and then he accepted sannyas in 1978. And we know that the Bharat Bhagavatamrita also, Maharaj's translation and the commentaries on that, he was a editor for all these three volumes. And also Sri Krishna Lilastava, these two books were there. Maharaj translated and was an editor in both. Also, Maharaj, he travels widely in different countries and preaches, just like Australia, Belgium, China, France, UK, US, and many other countries. And we know Maharaj is especially very, very famous for his crystal clear understanding of the philosophy. Very eloquently he presents it, with few words, but just makes things very clear. And not like, you know, many times we find that things don't get clear, but Maharaj is just, in few words, he makes things clear. At the same time, we find that the question answer sessions of Maharaj are very, very enlightening. Just a short answer, but to the point. It just clarifies all the doubts. So we are very thankful to Maharaj that he extended here, came out of his busy schedule, and then he's ready to give us association. We'll welcome him by loudly chanting,
Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
like to invite you, first of all, to do a cell phone check. Make sure all your cell phones are silent or off, please. One Christian preacher threatened his congregation, whoever's cell phone rang would burn forever in eternal fire. It made me think better, more highly of Christianity. So we're reading from sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita as it is, Jnana Yoga. And verses 1-9?
Yes.
1-9, okay. Do you chant these verses or you're just reading through? What is your format?
Basically, some verses we chant, but translation we read. These are important verses we chant.
The unimportant verses?
All are important, of course.
Okay, well, we can figure out what we want to do. We're also handing out bribes, by the way. Prajesh, you can hand out the bribes to the worthy candidates, that is to say, the kids. In exchange for their silence. If bribes don't work, the next stage is expulsion. Do you want to move up? More space for wherever they come later. And the better to get your company. Om Jnana Timiram Tasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Miditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurudev Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Adhati Shabadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrashatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Satitam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindho, Dina Bandho, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostute, Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindaneshwari, Prashabhanam Sute Devi, Paramami Hari Priye, Vansha Kalpitarubhyascha, Kripa Sindho Vyaheva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Anashrita karma palam karyam karma karoti aha sasanyasi cha yogi cha na niragnir na chakriya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, one who is unattached to the fruits of his work and who works as he is obligated is in the renounced order of life, and he is the true mystic, not he who lights no fire and performs no work. This verse is important. Prabhupada first gives an overview of the quick overview of the chapter, the emphasis on the Eightfold Yoga System. But then it comes to this point of what is actually sannyas? What is actually sannyas? Just said it once and then be done with it.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. That seems like it's not too bad. Goodbye.
Generally, we think that sannyas means giving up family life, giving up social life, and going off. What is that microphone? Is it on? This is, you're broadcasting from here to there with that? Oh my goodness. If anyone's looking for a career, your son's looking for careers, acoustic engineering, there's lots of opportunities in India because there are just no acoustic engineers to be found. IT specialists, there's millions. Not one who knows what to do with sound. Okay. Generally, we think sannyas means giving up all responsibilities and going off to the forest or traveling everywhere with no responsibility. But here, Krishna gives a different definition of sannyas. Karyam karma karotiya. The person who performs his prescribed duties. Karya means what you're supposed to do. That which we're obliged to do is karya. Our prescribed duty. Karyam karma karotiya. People often use, they'll say, so what have you understood from Bhagavad Gita? And they'll say, Krishna is teaching, do your duty. Do your duty. And that's true. But there's a line before this, anashrita karma palam.
One should do one's duty without attachment to the results of the work. Elsewhere it's said, the famous headline verse that those same people will quote, Karmanye Vadikaraste. This is the message of Bhagavad Gita. Do your duty. You must do your duty. But then comes that terrible next line. Mataleshu Tadachana. You should do your duty, but you're not entitled to the results. Okay, we've moved you from the back to the front to the back. Mahapaleshu Kadachana. This seems very... what does that mean? Should I work hard all week and then get some money and throw it in the sky? Mahapaleshu Kadachana. I'm not entitled to the results of my work. Krishna says yes. That should be used for my pleasure. Why your pleasure? I worked for it. But who are you? You're my servant. Some children are like God, they're all pervading. We're servants of Krishna. If we try to enjoy for ourselves, then what is the result? We become entangled. What is that in Bhagavad Gita? Ayukta kama karena pale sakto nibhajita. Yukta karma palam jatva. Those who are yukta, those who are hooked up with Krishna, give up the results of their work. And everyone says, oh, I'm not joining this movement. I have to give up the results of my work. But shantimaknoti naishtikin. Because they give up the results of their work, they attain peace. Their minds are peaceful, their life is peaceful. Naishtikin, steady, peace. And ayukta, those who are not hooked up with Krishna, ayukta kamakarena, they're working for the sake of satisfying their own desires. And what is the result? Pale sakto nibhajyate. They become entangled because of attachment. They become entangled. Entanglement means no peace of mind, no happiness actually, because ashantasya kutasukam, for a person who's not peaceful, where's the question of happiness? One may be rich, one may be famous, one may be have a beautiful wife and everything else. And if his mind is not peaceful, if his mind is tormented, how can he be happy? So there's a secret here, that the more one works for one's own satisfaction, the more dissatisfied one becomes. And the more one works for Krishna's satisfaction, the more one becomes happy. It's not so hard to understand. If the hand tries to pick up food and keep it and enjoy it, the hand is not going to enjoy. But if the hand takes the food and puts it in the stomach, then the hand will get the full benefit of the food. It's a practical thing. We're thinking we're separate, we're independent, and we can enjoy. But the more that we try to enjoy, the more we become frustrated. Therefore, the biggest enjoying countries like the United States is full of people who are frustrated. They should be the happiest people. They have money, they have hunger, they have conveniences, they have everything. The whole world is mad after America. They have this, they have that. But they don't have peace. They don't have happiness. They're not walking around blissful. They're dissatisfied. And the simple villagers who are Krishna conscious, not that villagers are by nature all Krishna conscious, but any simple villager who has Krishna consciousness can be peaceful and happy. He doesn't need three cars, two television sets, and at least one laptop. He can be happy chanting Hare Krishna. So this is sannyas. One doesn't have to give up. One may be in family life also. Na niradhir vachakriya. Niradhir means, according to the ancient Vedic way, the householders are supposed to perform fire sacrifices every day. There's a fire and there's some yajna performed as part of ordinary household duties. There are different sins that are accrued in ordinary life. We pick up a pitcher of water and we put it down, we kill so many living entities. We light a fire to cook, we kill so many living entities. We walk from here to there, we kill so many living entities. So there are some sacrifices performed to become freed from sinful reactions. And such things are done, especially in householder life. But, so one who takes sannyas, traditionally, he puts out the fire and he leaves. But Krishna says that's not actually the sannyasi. Sannyasi is not the person who puts out the fire and leaves home. Real sannyasi is the person who's not attached and who performs his prescribed duties. Krishna's essentially correcting Arjuna's misconception. Because Arjuna is thinking this is a big sinful battle, and I have to kill my grandfather, I have to kill my friends. I'll take sannyas. I'll be noble, I'll give up this terrible, greedy work, and I'll renounce everything. And Krishna is saying, no, that's not actual renunciation. That's not actually sannyas. That's actually selfishness. You're thinking about your own enjoyment. How will I be happy after killing Bhishma and Drona? Your happiness is not the point. It's your duty, karma. It's your duty to find. So you're actually a sannyasi when you perform your duty without considering what you're going to get out of it. I'll win the kingdom, it doesn't matter. Krishna Arjuna says, I'd rather give up everything than have this kingdom. Having the kingdom is not the point, it's what your duty is. And the person who performs his duty is actually the sannyasi. Performs his duty without attachment to the results, just for the sake of Krishna.
Yam sannyasam iti prahur yogam tam vidipandava ni na hyasanyasta sankopa yogi bhavati kashchana. Krishna says there's no difference between yoga and sannyas. Yoga means to be connected with Krishna. Elsewhere, Krishna has said, what is that? Dukkham aptam yogatas. Sannyasas tu mahabaho dukkham aptam yogatas. For the person who's not Krishna conscious, ayogata, for the person who's not connected with Krishna, sannyas is simply misery. Sannyas is tu mahabaho dukkham aptam yogatas. One has to be connected with Krishna. One actually has to be Krishna conscious. Then sannyas has meaning. Otherwise, there are so many sannyasis, but they're keeping a girlfriend, they're keeping a big bank account, they're keeping so many things. Why? Because they can't be happy in actually renounced life because they're not connected with Krishna. So they just make a show of sannyas. There's so many sannyasis, they're making business by wearing saffron cloth and collecting money. And then at the end of the day, they go home to their family. They purchase some vegetables, they cook. It's just a business, a way of earning a living. How will you earn a living? I'll take sannyas. So, actual sannyas is the same as yoga. Who can be a yogi? Again, it doesn't matter. The householder can also be a yogi. The householder can also be connected with Krishna. Or the brahmacharya can be connected with Krishna. Anyone can be connected with Krishna. But if he's not connected with Krishna, then the sannyas is not going to be very helpful. Yam sannyasamiti pravar yogam tam vidhi pandava. Na hi asanyasta sankalpo, sankalpa, yogi bhavati kashchana. Asanyasta sankalpa. Sanyasta sankalpa means one has to give up the desire for sense gratification. The person who renounces material enjoyment but maintains the desire to enjoy materially is going to be in conflict with himself. The idea is that the heart should be purified. Then sannyas will be possible or will be effective. The two go together. Renunciation and purification of heart. Sattva samshuti. The bhakti yoga process is the best method for developing this connection with Krishna and this detachment from maya. Vasudeva bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojita janayati ashu vairagyam gyanam chayamaiti. When one serves Krishna, automatically knowledge follows and detachment follows. One doesn't separately have to work very hard to cultivate austerity and detachment. If one fully engages in the service of Krishna, detachment automatically follows. If we're attached to Krishna, naturally we become detached from maya. So janayati ashu vairagya. Raga means attachment. Vairagya means freedom from attachment. One becomes more attached. Just simply to detach ourselves is very difficult. But to attach ourselves to Krishna is easy. By chanting Hare Krishna, by hearing about Krishna, the more we hear about Krishna, the more we become attached to Krishna. What is that? Jagat parishyat anurajyatecha. Sthane rishikesha tava prakirtya.
By hearing your glories, the whole world becomes joyful and people become attached to you. How are people joining the Hare Krishna movement from all over the world? Rich people, or just our Prabhupada's disciples, many of them were from wealthy families, and they gave up a comfortable life to live very simply. Our Giriraj Maharaj, maybe some of you know him, was one of the first disciples to join Srila Prabhupada, or to come to India at Srila Prabhupada's request. He was the son of a big Chicago lawyer, very wealthy, very comfortable life. And as Prabhupada said, he left everything to come and sleep on the floor. And then went to Juhu. Now Juhu is a big, plush, opulent place. But when he went there, it was a jungle. They were simply living in a little hut with no running water and everything. You know, mosquitoes and snakes and so on. And that's, he gave up a comfortable life as the son of a Chicago lawyer to live in the jungle and on this land in Jew. So how is it possible? Prabhupada said, I'm not a rich man, I haven't bribed them, I don't have any money to give them. But they're feeling happiness in the service of Krishna. When one is genuinely engaged in the service of Krishna, Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. One feels happy. So, Praharshi Ashyami Sanatani, when one is engaged in the service of Krishna, one naturally feels happy, just as a child feels happy on the lap of the mother. The devotee feels happy now and engaged in the service of Krishna. So then, detachment becomes natural.
Avarukshur muner yogam karma karanam uchyate yogarudhasya tasyaiva shama karanam uchyate. Now Krishna is beginning to describe the yoga system. In this chapter, sixth chapter, he'll describe the Ashtanga yoga system, yam, niyam, asana, pranayam, and so on. Here he's beginning by saying there's basically two parts to the yoga system. The yoga ruddha, what is that?
Yoga
ruruksho and yoga ruddha. For the beginner, there's work. And for the advanced devotee, there's freedom from all material activities. The beginning of the yoga system, there's so many exercises to perform, there's so many things you have to do, actually. Then you reach the stage of complete absorption and meditation. Yes. Yeah, that's clear. In the beginning, you have to practice this way, practice that way. Then, in the advanced stage, you reach freedom from all activities. But if one at once tries to jump and stop all activities, so that's not possible either. Yada hinendriyarteshu nakarmas manusajjate sarvasankalpa sannyasi yoga ruddhastadokshita. The advanced yogi is the person, sarvasankalpa sannyasi, who's given up all desire for sense gratification. People are practicing yoga
as a means to keep their health, as a means to stay fit, as a means to look good. That's not actually yoga. as a means, so many ways people are practicing. For some material enjoyment. That's the opposite of yoga. Real yoga means sarva sankalpa sannyasi. Sankalpa means the determination to enjoy. The actual sannyasi, finished with all that. Sarva sankalpa sannyasi. Yoga rudhastada chitta. When a person is fully engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, he's pleased in himself, and thus he's no longer engaged in sense gratification or fruitive activities. Otherwise, one must be engaged in sense gratification, since one cannot live without engagement. Without Krishna consciousness, one must be always seeking self-centered or extended selfish activities. But a Krishna conscious person can do everything for the satisfaction of Krishna, and thereby be perfectly detached from sense gratification. One who has no such realization must mechanically try to escape material desires before being elevated to the top rung of the yoga ladder. Very difficult to simply give up the desire to enjoy sense gratification. But when one acts in Krishna consciousness, the heart becomes purified. The heart becomes purified, and then he naturally gives up that desire. Otherwise, the yogis have a lot of trouble to go through. Sanat Kumar. Yet pada pankaja palasha vilasha bhaktya. No, no. Tadvanna rikta matayo yatayo piyudhas. Shoto ganas tadaranam parivasi deva. The material desires are coming like waves on the beach. One desire after another desire. So many desires are coming. And to stop those desires simply by performing, by sitting and by meditating, by trying to control, very difficult. Very difficult. But yadpada pankaja palasha vilasha bhaktya, for those who are engaged in service to the lotus petal feet of Krishna, it's easier. He's engaged in the service of Krishna, so he gets a better desire. Param drishtva nivartate naso varjam rasopyasya. Param drishtva nivartate. Because he's getting a higher pleasure, automatically he gives up the lower pleasure. That's such a better approach than simply trying to give up pleasure, knowing, oh, this is a low pleasure, this is an obstruction, I'll give it up. He gives it up, and then the next day he picks it up again. Because he has nothing better. Something is better than nothing. But the Krishna conscious person, he has the ultimate something. He has the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, Hari Das Thakur, even when the beautiful prostitute approached him at the dead of night, please, please, I can't live without you. All right, let me finish my rounds first. Because he had a higher taste. He had a higher taste. That's Yoga Rudha, the advanced stage of yoga, which one reaches by chanting.
the holy name of the Lord. Luntade atmanatmanam, natmanam avasadaye, atmaiva yatmano bandhur atmaiva ripuratmanam. Uddhared, one has to elevate oneself with the help of the mind and not degrade oneself by the mind. Atmaya vihatmano bandhur atmaya viripa. The mind can be the best friend or the mind can be the worst enemy. Now, and Krishna will immediately explain what he means. Bandhur atmatmanastasya yenatmai bhatmana jitaha. For the person whose mind is controlled, the mind is bandhu, right? Best friend. And anatmanastu shatrutve varte tatmai vashatruvat. And for the person whose mind is uncontrolled, the mind remains the worst enemy. People are thinking in terms of friends and enemies, but the best friend or the worst enemy is within them. The mind is either the friend or the enemy. And people are so unfortunate that they're not trained to control the mind. And therefore their minds are their enemies. They're living with their worst enemy. Yeah. Uncontrolled mind. Therefore, spiritual training is required so that we can learn how to control the mind. The uncontrolled mind will mean uncontrolled senses, because the mind is the center of the senses. But if the mind is uncontrolled, then the senses will... Who will control the senses? Who will control the wheels of the car if the driver is not going to do it? Intelligence is like the driver of the car. The intelligence has to be engaged to control the car. Or the, yes, it has to be engaged. But people are not trained. Actual training means gurukule, what is that?
Brahmachari
gurukule vasantanta guroi. Even a king's son would go to the place of the guru. He would be sent to the place of the guru at a young age, 5 years old, and learn danta, how to control the mind and senses. Now they're simply sent to school and drilled in maths, drilled in whatever the subjects are. But they're not taught how to control the mind and senses. And so their life becomes a failure because their enemy gets them. They're maybe very capable at earning money, but they're not capable of controlling the sentence. What is this? Bangalore. Now they've got so much money because of IT. So many young men, they're earning piles of money. Immense sums of money. Not immense, but immense actually. Just piles and piles of money by Indian standards. And then what do? Now I have money, so they go to clubs, drinking, woman hunting, aping America. For any American who comes, they're like a joke, you know, they're like poor copies of American sense gratifiers. But they're thinking they're really cool, they're really sharp, they're really something. Americans look at them and say, you know. And Americans look at them and laugh. But they're thinking they're really
just now enjoying, just now, just like in the medical. But quickly, they're learning how to become degraded like the Americans. How to drink, how to eat anything and everything, how to behave like fools, how to spend money hand over foot, how to mix with women indiscriminately, and the women, how to mix with men indiscriminately. That means no self-control, because they can't control their mind otherwise. The person who controls his mind, even if he's making little money, very quickly he becomes well-established. He'll spend intelligently, his whole establishment will be very carefully done, everything stable, everything reasonable. Now these people, they'll make money. I know one friend, he doesn't happen to be Indian, he's Irish. And he made tons of money in IT. He wasn't an IT guy, he was a headhunter, a placement guy. The companies would look for workers and he would find the workers, and he was making money. And then he was spending money. And investing money in IT things so that he'd get more money. And that was right before that bubble broke, and then all the money went. And he had nothing. Simply thinking how to get more, how to enjoy, how to spend, but no sense of discretion, control, and higher purpose. Not knowing the goal of life. Simply intoxicated. Now we have money, we can spend, we can enjoy. The enemy is working from within. Now you can enjoy it, now you have money, now you can do this, now you can do that. Forget about this whole, don't listen to what they tell you, just enjoy. The enemy is. So one has to learn how to control the mind. It doesn't matter, even the poor man, he can spend whatever he's got $2, and he'll blow the $2 on sense gratification. If his mind is not controlled. Gambling, intoxication, eating, illicit sex. These are four things. Among other things, apart from being sinful, they waste all your money. For intoxication means money goes out the window. Because you're drinking and then become addicted to drinking, and you have to drink more. So you lose so much money that you're spending on the alcohol, then you lose your job because you're drunk. Intoxication, gambling is always a big source of loss. Since Maharaj Yudhisthira's time, it's been a source of loss. Gambling, intoxication, meat eating, even just from a practical point of view, vegetables and grains are not very expensive, and to eat meat you have to spend so much more. And on the larger picture, the resources that are used in the for meat eating ruin everything. The water that's needed, the land that's needed, grains that are fed to the animals instead of to the human beings. You're wasting so much money. Huge. All these ecologists who are not vegetarian, they're either hypocrites or fools. There's so much money, so much natural resources being wasted. gambling, intoxication, meeting, and illicit sex, of course, is a great way to lose all your money. You have to pay some professional sex worker, or else you have to pay a non-professional in the name of a girlfriend who's very expert at taking your money. So many problems come from illicit sex. And one way or another, people are losing their money for that. So even from a financial point of view, but then from another point of view, self-control is gone. The person who becomes, who's after intoxicants, after indiscriminate association with women, whose tongue is uncontrolled, intoxication and gambling, their minds are not control, they're godas. Adanta gobir vishatam to mushroom. Puna punascharvata charvata. They're simply chewing the chewed again and again and gliding down to degraded existence. Why? Adanta gobi. Their senses are uncontrolled. So real education means learning, first of all, how to control the senses, how to control the mind. Therefore, the Gurukul system is there. The prince would be sent to the Gurukul so that he could learn how to control his mind and senses. Then he can be king. Otherwise, these so-called kings who can't control their senses, they're just like dogs on a throne. And they get overthrown eventually. The public finally says, we're not going to take you anymore. We're going to throw you out. And now monarchy is practically finished. Because kings... we're not controlling their senses. We're not interested in controlling their senses. They were the enemies of the citizens and the enemies of themselves. And the person who's Krishna conscious, he can control the mind. And therefore the mind becomes the friend. So chanting Hare Krishna is the way to make the mind friendly. Chitatmana prashantasya paramatma samahitaha shitoshna sukadukeshu tata mana pamaniya. Chitatmana, for one whose mind has been controlled, conquered, prashantasya, he becomes peaceful. The uncontrolled mind is always disturbed. And the controlled mind becomes peaceful. And then paramatma samahita. Practically speaking, he quickly reaches the super soul. Mind is now peaceful, he's detached from sense gratification. He can focus his mind in Krishna consciousness. So the super soul practically is already reached. Shitoshna sukadukeshu. Heat and cold, happiness and distress. Mana, pamanio, honor and dishonor. For him, it's all the same. Materialists are after honor or trying to escape dishonor. They're looking for happiness and trying to get away from distress. This peaceful person, self-controlled person, doesn't worry about it. He focuses his mind on Krishna within. He's the yogi. That's the yogi. His mind is fixed on Krishna. Not pulled this way and that way by the senses. The mind must admit some superior dictation and follow it. The effect of controlling the mind is that one automatically follows the dictation of the Paramatma or Super Soul. Jnana jnana triptatma kutasto vijitendriyaha yuktit yuchite yogi samalostrasna kachana. Jnana jnana triptatma, tripta means satisfied. Tripyanti neha kripala bahudu kapachana. or the person who's simply after sense enjoyment, maitanadi grita medhi sukhamatutra. There's no question of satisfaction. He'll always be dissatisfied. But tripyanti neha kripana bahutuk. But here, Gyanavikrana Triptatma, the person whose mind is self-controlled, becomes satisfied, tripta, atma triptasjana. Gyanavikrana, because he has knowledge and realization. Janayati ashu vairagya gyanam chayavitaka. When one becomes Krishna conscious, he has knowledge. He applies knowledge in his life. He knows how to do that. And therefore he's satisfied. He knows I'm part of Krishna, my business is to serve Krishna. And so he's satisfied in his relationship with Krishna. Hmm? He's satisfied in his relationship with Krishna. Jnana vijnana triptatma
kutasto vijitendriya.
Vijitendriya, the person whose senses are controlled. Kutasta, who's situated on the transcendental platform. Yuktiti uchate yogi, connected with Krishna, he's actually the yogi. Samalostrashma kancha, for him, pebbles, gold, stone, all the same. And Prabhupada has a nice comment about that. Yes. It's the realized soul who's actually self-controlled because he's surrendered to Krishna. He's transcendental because he has nothing to do with mundane scholarship. For him, mundane scholarship and mental speculation, which may be as good as gold to others, are of no greater value than pebbles or stone. One doesn't become actually situated in perfection of life simply by scholarship, simply by mundane education. All right, let's do it again. Cell phone check, please. Everyone, please check your cell phone. Next person whose cell phone rings is going to be eligible to sponsor the next Sunday feast. Now everyone reaches for their phone next. The self-realized person sees everything in relationship to Krishna. This is good, this is bad. This is all nonsense from his point of view. Because nothing is his. If he makes $1 million, he hasn't made anything. And if he loses $100 million, he hasn't lost anything. Because it wasn't his money. The bank teller who takes in 1 lakh, or the bank teller who hands out 1 lakh, is unaffected by how much he's taking in or giving out, because it's not his money. But the Krishna conscious person, he sees everything the same. The materialist, oh, here's a beautiful girl I could enjoy, or such an ugly girl, what? The Krishna conscious person, it doesn't matter if she's beautiful, not beautiful. Because he's not thinking, I could enjoy. He's thinking that my enjoyment is to serve Krishna. And if he's thinking about the girl, he's thinking, this girl could be engaged in Krishna's service and be happy. Nirmamam Nirahankara. Nirmamam Nirahankara. Sashanti Nadigarati. The person who becomes peaceful is the person who knows that I'm not this body and nothing belongs to me. I am part and parcel of Krishna, everything belongs to Krishna.
Triptatma, he's actually satisfied.
Suhrin mitraridasinam hasta vesha bantushu santushvapi tapapeshu samabhutir vishishyate. Again, he's very advanced when he sees this way. No difference between Suhrit, heart-to-heart friends, Mitra, benefactors, another kind of friend, Adi, enemies, Udasina, neutral people, Madhyastha, mediators, Dvesha, envious people, Andhu, Sadhu. He sees everybody the same. Everyone is Krishna's servant. Only some people are remembering Krishna, some people are forgetting Krishna. But he sees people not in terms of friends or enemies or what can he do for me. You know, a businessman needs someone and he's immediately thinking, what can this man do for me? What kind of connections does he have? What business is he in? What can he do for me? Or what can I get out of him? But the Krishna conscious person doesn't see that way. Here's someone who I could get something from. Everyone is Krishna's servant. I'm also Krishna's servant. It's transcendental to those considerations. Friends and enemies. Is he for me or against me? Is he a threat or is he a help? He doesn't see that way. He sees everyone's Krishna's and I'm also Krishna's. Well, this is an advanced state of consciousness. The whole world is thinking in terms of friends and enemies. But the Krishna conscious person is thinking in terms of Krishna, who's the real friend of everyone. If we want peace individually or nationally or internationally, then the only way is through Krishna consciousness.
Well, that brings us up through verse 9.
And let's see what kind of questions we might have.
The seat of the mind.
It doesn't sit, it moves around a lot. The mind is subtle. So it's, you know, we know where the finger is, we know where the knee is, but to know where the mind is, it was in California one moment ago, and now it's on the moon. The mind is very subtle. It moves here and there. It's not, it's a very subtle thing, like the air. You know, we know where the rock is, we know where the piece of earth is, but where's the air? It moves, it's subtle. So the mind, sometimes it's said to be seated in the heart. Sometimes it's said to be seated in the head. But it's really a subtle thing. It's not quite something that you could just, if you had a good forceps, catch with your forceps, with your forceps and move from here to there. Or if you have radar, you could locate it. But it's right there, about 2 centimeters north of the heart. It's a subtle element. It's a subtle element. But But the mind is really wherever the mind focuses on. Your wife is talking to you, but your mind is elsewhere. Right? Sorry, what did you say? I didn't hear you. My mind was elsewhere. I'm sitting in Pune, but I'm thinking of Paris. So my mind is in Paris. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, in the Pramasangita, there's a reference to the speed of the mind. If one could travel at the speed of the mind for millions of years, speed of the mind, the mind is so quick. And the speed of the body is not very much. A few kilometers, you know, maybe 4 kilometers an hour. But the speed of the mind is so fast that it's gone to from here to there to the next place within moments. That's a very subtle thing, the mind. But the mind, and usually it's jumping. It's going from here to there, from here to there, to there, 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 there. That's anatmana, uncontrolled mind. So one has to control the mind and fix it on Krishna. And with a controlled mind, fixed on Krishna, ultimately you go back to God. Actually, that's the 8th chapter. The yogi, by mechanical means, in the Ashtanga yoga system, actually gets control of the mind. First he performs all these disciplines and he gets his mind control, basic, you know, rules and regulations, and he sits a certain way and he drills his respiration so powerfully that he offers the outcoming breath into the incoming breath and finally suspends his breathing. How controlled his mind is now. And he fixes his mind on the super soul within. He draws the life air to the top of the skull. And fixing his mind on the Supreme, he attains the Supreme. That's the kind of what can be done with control of the mind. But that system for controlling the mind, we can hardly follow in this age. But the same result can be achieved by the system of chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Now, where is your mind? If your mind is focused on that sound, your mind is with Krishna. And if you go on chanting and go on giving your attention to that sound vibration, then you're always with Krishna. Your mind is always with Krishna. And yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chajajante kalevanam tam tam evaiti kante sarata bhavavati. Whatever your mind is absorbed in at the final point, time of death, that's what you achieve. So if your mind is with Krishna, you'll go to Krishna. So in one sense, the question is, you know, where exactly is the mind? But from another point of view, yes, where is the mind? Or where are we putting the mind? The mind is where we put it or where we let it go. If we let it go, the mind is all over the place. And if you place it on this sound, if you place your mind, apply your mind to hearing this transcendental sound, and your mind is with Krishna. And then okay. Something else.
Maharaj, sometimes though we know the philosophy, we are practicing Krishna consciousness, but still we are failed to control the mind. In that case, the tendency is again we may go in depression mode. Which may again affect our
therefore also. We should not go into depression mode. Rupa Goswami says we should be patient. Utsaha nischaya dharya tata karma pravartya. the expression is, if it's first you don't succeed, try again. Abhyasa yoga yuktam. There may be failure, but we continue. Why? Because we're confident that the process will eventually bring us success. Practically anything that you have to practice, you have to fail at sometimes. If you're learning music, you hit the wrong note. If you're learning how to ride a bicycle, you fall. Whatever it is that you're learning by practice, it's understood that practice is the process of failing until you get it right. Right? You go on practicing. You get better and better and better and better. So Rupa Goswami says, don't be disappointed. Go on with enthusiasm, with patience, with confidence, in good association of devotees, following the rules and regulations, and you'll be successful. Yes?
Regarding this Ashtanga Yoga, its connection with chanting.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes devotees do apply some yogic techniques of like Shuchaudeshe Pratishthapya, Sthiramasana, Atmana. We take to some kind of mechanical means to control our mind in the initial stages, and so that it can become conducive for chanting nicely. How far that should be done? That's first question. And secondly, in India, there is a very famous yoga teacher. Many devotees even are impressed with his breathing techniques or whatever he teaches. And they feel that unless they take to such a practice, their practice of bhakti yoga is not going to be of much concentration or of much focus.
Here's a big, so you heard the question? Yes? Yeah. Okay. So first thing is, he's got these techniques and everything, but is he Krishna conscious? The yogi has these breathing techniques without which we won't be able to think of Krishna. But is he thinking of Krishna? Well, he's thinking about his breathing technique, how he can teach others the breathing technique, how he can spread this technique all over the world. But he's not thinking of Krishna. So that means, at least in his case, it's a failure. And Srila Prabhupada never gave much importance to breathing techniques and sitting postures and so on. But he was always thinking of Krishna. And his recommendation was that you just simply chant Hare Krishna. He never told us that you find someone who can teach you how to breathe right. Just chant. He said, just try to hear yourself chant sincerely. That was his instruction, and he's the expert. The other guy's the expert in breathing, but Prabhupada's the expert in Krishna consciousness. The other guy is the failure in Krishna consciousness. He's teaching yoga, but he doesn't know what yoga is. The goal of yoga is not simply to breathe right, concentrate the mind, but on anything but Krishna. The goal is Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada recommended this method. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Few little things. If you sit straight, that will help you. If you're regulated in your eating, regulated in your sleeping, practically all the things Prabhupada taught us, that will help us more. Other things, not so important. Chanting is more powerful than breathing. The breathing exercises are only one portion of the Ashtanga Yoga system. And the whole Ashtanga Yoga system is not as effective as the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. So we give more importance to chanting the holy name, less importance to the material in details, in material methods. Yes.
Krishna mentioned in the beginning, the proper that the beginners have to work and the advanced devotees, you can give us everything. Can you please elaborate?
The beginners have to work, the advanced devotees absorb themselves, or advanced yogis absorb themselves in meditation. Yes, in the Ashtanga Yoga system, that there's a lot of hard work. You have to sit this way, you have to breathe that way, just the breathing exercises. Probably, if we had to do it, we would give up quickly, just because it's so much work. Even your Bombay yogi or whoever he is. I think I would just get, he'd explain to me the system, you know, you sit and you press your nose this way and then you... And just do that 20 times. After about 7 times, I said, it's too much work. And that's only a fraction of what the real yogis have to do in terms of controlling the mind, controlling the senses. It's a mechanical system that bringing up the life force and all of this stuff. It's work. Then, what's that? Yam, niyam, asana, pranayam, pratyahar, dhyan, dharana, finally samadhi. Till you reach samadhi, it's basically work. Is that okay? Yes?
What is meant by being content within oneself?
What is meant by being content within? Just like you, after you take prasadam, what's meant by being content? You feel full. And someone says, take more, you'll say, no, that's all right. You don't want to take any more because you're satisfied. So that's content, that you feel full. A Krishna conscious person, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, you feel satisfied. You can offer him money, you can offer him this, offer him that. He says, no, I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Rabindra Swarup Prabhu told me one time. In the city of Philadelphia, you know, America, we were talking about. And he and some devotees were driving through really the wrong part of town in the evening, in which there are ladies who are not very virtuous. And you know, they're wearing like a coat or something, and if they open up their coat, there's not too much under that. And one such lady approached their car and sort of did her approach and said, you fellas looking to have a good time? Said, no, we're Hare Krishnas. That's what it means to be content. No, we don't know. We're not looking to have a good time. We're chanting Hare Krishna. We're already having a good time. That okay?
Maharaj, you explained in the class that in order to experience happiness, you should have a controlled mind. When the mind is peaceful, then actually you can actually experience happiness. But oftentimes we are put into situations which actually where our minds, you can't think of controlling the mind. It's like dragged away. We are caught up in the situation. And at that point of time, how do we control that mind? Even if we, chant Hare Krishna at that time, it's not that, the situations come under your control or something like that. But, your mind is like completely, even by rendering services, for example, it is dragged away. There's no question of control. So how to experience happiness, or is there any chance of experience happiness?
Then you have to place yourself under Krishna's control. if when it's beyond your control, then you have to surrender. How much can I can do by my control? This is beyond my control. There's so many circumstances which are beyond our control. But what can you do under those circumstances? Surrender.
What does that mean practically? What does that mean?
It means that we know that I can't do anything about this. Only Krishna can do something about this. I have to depend on Krishna. Draupadi in the Asat Sabha. Beyond her control, what can she do? She has to surrender to Krishna. Arjuna, he found himself in a circumstance that was too much for him. He surrendered to Krishna. When one is a devotee, that's natural. When there's little Vrindavan, when there's some demon or something, then Krishna, Krishna. They just naturally call for Krishna. The person who's not Krishna conscious, he somehow or other tries to control the situation, which is uncontrollable. And the Krishna conscious person just depends on Krishna. Krishna, if you desire, would be a success. Just like Prabhupada came to America, and he saw, what can I do here? Look at these people. How degraded they are. But he prayed to Krishna that you can make me a success or you can make me a failure as you like. I just come to do your work. You can, it's up to you. Okay? Yes?
Continuing with the same question, you said that you have to depend on Krishna. Now we are not conditioned, at least I am not conditioned to depend on Krishna. We are conditioned to depend on ourselves, our relatives, our comforts, our other securities. So when we are forced to depend on Krishna, in fact our anxiety increases.
Therefore we have to change our condition. I'm thinking, my family, my money, my bank balance, it's okay. I'm set up. Or I'm reasonably secure because my house is taken care of, my wife is all right, my this. So one has to change one's consciousness. Don't wait for everything to go south. Go south is an American expression, means go to hell, for everything to fall apart. Don't wait for everything to fall apart so that now you're forced to suddenly. You prepare. Here again in Pune, all these soldiers are practicing so that when they're actually out there in the field and facing an enemy, they're conditioned to be brave or to know what to do, to know how to load their guns automatically, whatever it is that they're supposed to do, because they've practiced. We should practice voluntarily. And not build up my establishment more and more and think, but actually we should practice that, all right, let me live, accepting less and depending on Krishna. Instead of building up, now I've got a bigger house, bigger walls, bigger security force, bigger bank balance, bigger this. Better, we're putting ourselves in more trouble. The more we think that we're secure, the more we're becoming weak. Just like in physical therapy, a person who's had an operation or something, he's encouraged that don't depend on this device or that device, because you'll not recover your strength. You know, don't use the electric wheelchair, use the manual wheelchair. otherwise, now don't use the wheelchair anymore, use the crutches. Now don't use the crutches, try to walk by yourself. And the more he's depending on these material things, the more he's weak. Right? So, better that we should practice voluntarily, depending on Krishna. But what does that mean? Does it mean I throw it? But seriously chanting. Seriously using everything for Krishna's service. All right, I have this, but it's not for my stocking, for my security. I may die tomorrow, and then what's the use of my 30 lakhs in the bank? So, while we have the energy, while we have the while circumstances are a little bit even, let me practice giving everything to Krishna, engaging my energy in Krishna's service, depending on Krishna, chanting seriously. Then when things go crazy, and they will, every one of us, no one is going to have just clear sailing to the end. Somebody will die, somebody will get some terrible disease, somebody will get wiped out financially, someone will have some, his son will jump off a building, somebody will have, you know, shall I scare you with all the things that could happen to you in the course of your life? So many things can happen, and do happen. Everything's going fine, and then, you know, some karma comes from 30 lifetimes ago, and everything goes completely different. So, or finally everything's going fine, then we have to die. And that's not a picnic. But Kulashekhar Maharaj says the kapha vitta vayu, the elements within the body all go awry, and the mind becomes disturbed, and you can't breathe properly, and you're coughing all the time. And pain and this and that. And death is not just go to sleep and everything. Tremendous difficulty. How are we going to think of Krishna at that time? And therefore, we have to practice. Very serious to practice while things are good. The soldiers are not waiting until the war to practice. They're practicing now. Not that, you know, anyone in the military here, they're not thinking, well, why should we train the troops? Everything's peaceful. They know peaceful means that it's just the prelude to conflict. Sooner or later, conflict is inevitable, so we have to be ready. And that's the material world. It's not just in the military department. It's in householder life, it's in business, it's in health. The nature of the material world is sooner or later there must be problems. So better to practice. And if somehow or other, against all odds, you don't run into problems, you go through your whole life without problems, well, it's fine. You became Krishna conscious and made the best use of your life. There's no loss to you. And in the greater likelihood that there's all sorts of problems, you're ready. So no one ever loses by being Krishna conscious. And Krishna conscious doesn't just mean how you think, it means how you act, what you do practically. When you have an extra free day, free evening, do you go to the movies or do you go to the temple? That's up to you. You have half an hour, do you read the newspaper or do you read Srimad Bhagavatam? You have these choices all the time, all day long. Question of practice. Oh, there's one question, okay. If the goal of life is to always remain absorbed in Krishna, why sometimes is there so much stress on loving Vaishnava relationships? Because the Vaishnavas are related to Krishna. Prabhupada said, love me, love my dog. It's an expression. Love me, love my dog. The devotees are dear to Krishna, so if you're dear to the devotees, you'll be dear to Krishna. Krishna doesn't mean Krishna alone. Krishna means with his devotees. We have to end. There seems to be a consensus here. The two managers say it should end. Okay, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, samaveta bhakta vrinda ki